These first words of Jesus at the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel. The time of fulfillment has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The advent of the gospel, the coming of the kingdom, brings with it this proclamation of repentance, because the advent of grace in our souls is the grace of repentance. This is what we want to key in on later today, but first I want to just give the context of the gospel here. Last week we had an account of John the Baptist saying, "There's Jesus, the Lamb of God." And we have Andrew and Peter coming to see Jesus, and they ask him where he's staying. He says, "Come and see." It's worth asking, is that the same, is John describing the same thing as Mark, or is it a different encounter? And that first line in Mark's gospel tells us that the one we heard last week happened prior to what we hear this week, because John the Baptist says there he is, but the first line here is after John the Baptist had been arrested, so he's no longer in the picture. So this is another meeting later on between Jesus and the fishermen, and he comes close, and he says, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand." What is he speaking about? That goes back to Daniel, the prophecy of Daniel in the second chapter. If you remember, there is this king, Nebuchadnezzar. He had this weird dream where he saw this statue with different types of metal making up the statue. The head was made of gold, the upper body silver, and the center was bronze. The legs were iron, and the feet were part iron, part tile. And during that final stage, that final empire that's described, each one of those sections is this description of a coming kingdom, there comes forth from a rock a little stone, little petros in Greek, a little stone which destroys the statue, and there's a new kingdom that's established, a kingdom that will have no end. And so Jesus is saying, the time of fulfillment has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's a remarkable thing. And then he draws close, first to Peter and Andrew, then to John and James. But he says, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Again, Jesus is speaking prophetically here. If we go back to Jeremiah, we have this promise from Jeremiah, the days when the Lord will bring all the scattered of God's people back to himself. And how will he do it? Through fishermen. Here's what it says in Jeremiah. "The days will surely come, says the Lord, when it will no longer be said, 'As the Lord lives who brought the Israelites out of Egypt,' but rather, 'As the Lord lives who brought the Israelites out of the land of the north and out of all the countries to which he had banished them. I will bring them back to the land which I gave their fathers. Look, I will send many fishermen, says the Lord, to catch them. After that, I will send many hunters to hunt them out from every mountain and hill and from the clefts of the rocks." Here it is, Jesus speaking prophetically to these first four fishermen that will become four of the 12 disciples, four of the 12 apostles. He's calling them now into this prophetic mission, in which he's going to call all the scattered people back to God himself to set their sights on the true promised land, which is in heaven. But it begins with that proclamation of repentance, the same proclamation which Jonah gives us, a powerful proclamation which is completely necessary, absolutely necessary when we preach the gospel, and certainly necessary in our times of difficulty and confusion, our generation of sin. But we can see what repentance does. When Jonah goes out and says to repent, the people of Nineveh do it, and it even affects what the consequence of their sin was going to be. They were going to have the city destroyed, and yet God looks on their repentance, and grace breaks in. Even so now for us, we live in a time of wickedness, when goodness is called evil, when evil is called something good. And so it's a time of repentance for the world and for each one of us. Benedict XVI says, repentance is the measure of the faith, and thanks to it, one returns to the truth. It's the measure of the faith and the beginning of renewal, the beginning of transformation in each one of us. We look at that word, repentance, in the Greek, metanoia. It means to change one's mind, to allow it to be renewed in Christ. We get that repentance and that pardon for sin. Repentance itself is a grace. Benedict continues that there's a problematic trend amongst the world that states that in Galilee, Jesus would have proclaimed a grace without conditions, absolutely unconditional, therefore without penitence, but grace as such, and grace as such without human preconditions. But this, he says, is a false understanding of grace. Yes, God's love for us is unconditional, but when he calls us to receive his grace, it hinges upon this. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance is grace. It's a grace that we recognize our sin. This is why the Spirit is sent, to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, as John says. Repentance allows renewal to begin in our hearts. It allows change and transformation to take place. The capacity to be penitent is a gift of grace. Benedict says, I must say this now, that we Christians, even in our recent times, have often avoided the word penitence because it seemed too difficult for us. But now, under the attacks of the world that speak of our sins, we see that the capacity to repent is a grace. And we see it's necessary then for us to do penance, that it is to recognize what's wrong in our lives and open ourselves up to Jesus' divine mercy, to his forgiveness, to prepare ourselves for pardon by allowing ourselves to be transformed. This is painful. It is painful to recognize our sinfulness, but it's a pain of purification and transformation and is itself a gift. It's a renewal wrought by God's divine mercy. But this is Jesus' initial words when he comes preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news that we don't have to live under the dominion of sin, but he wants our freedom in him, that transformation. This, though, is the fundamental point. Metanoia, repentance, is not a private affair which appears to be substituted by grace. Rather, it's the advent, the beginning of grace that transforms us. We're told that whoever believes will have eternal life. In faith, in this transformation that repentance brings, in this conversion, in this new way of living, we do arrive at life, at real life, life in Christ. So we want to let those words penetrate our heart again and again. True renewal begins with that repentance. The true transformation of our souls begins with coming into the light of Christ and allowing him to call us to deeper conversion, to deeper repentance. Some ways we could apply this for ourselves. One, just how we receive the teachings of the church, how we understand her teachings, right? If I don't receive the fullness of the faith, but only like to pick and choose one or the other of the teachings that are more comfortable for me, I actually don't have the gift of faith. All I have is a bunch of theological opinions, some which align with the church, but others which don't. But if we can recognize that, maybe we're struggling with a couple of the teachings of the church, to come into the light of Christ and allow grace to be poured upon us, to believe that we might understand more deeply, to trust in the goodness of Jesus and the gospel and in the teachings of the church. This is one way. We could look at it also through the lens of the Eucharistic revival, and simply in the way we approach Mass. Am I faithful week in and week out to coming to the sacrifice of Jesus at the Mass? How am I preparing myself to receive him more purely and more fully. Or sometimes there's that temptation. I know it's a big temptation sometimes, especially if we're in the back, to sneak out right after communion, get in line for our brunch or whatever it might be. But to resist that, because the living God has come to dwell in your heart, to spend some time, even if briefly, in thanksgiving with God himself. Multitude of ways in which we can hear the Lord's call for deeper metanoia, deeper changing of our hearts and minds, deeper repentance and conformity to him. But it's a perennial call for each and every one of us. Repent and believe in the gospel. And who knows, that transformation might bring you to the point where he wants to call you to be a fisher of men, or to be one of those hunters of souls, to go after those who are lost in the mountains or in the cracks of this life, lost and dying, to bring them back to the real source of life, Jesus himself present with us. And so let us open our hearts today to the gift of God's grace, the advent of his grace, to repent and to believe in the good news of Jesus' gospel, that he indeed is King and wants our transformation in his love.